there is, of course, the quote, be the change you want to see in the world. You can extend that to be very South African as a South Africanism. Fix the potholes that have been bugging you for the last weeks, months, if not years. South Africans very much fed up with the slow pace of the maintenance of infrastructure, particularly when it comes to roads in and around this country, but also other bulk infrastructure, water reticulation plants, municipalities having to go to court to seek a court order to force municipalities simply to do their job. It's left many South Africans to say, bugger it all. We're not going to wait. We're going to do it ourselves. We're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to fix the potholes ourselves. We've seen many communities do this. We've even seen political parties do this. There's also the question is whether we should depoliticize infrastructure maintenance, because what tends to happen is that municipalities do absolutely sweet all for 4 years, and in the final year of their time in office, you know what, we got some extra budget, so we're going to fill the potholes, we're going to fix the fences, we're going to do the things simply to show that we're doing our job. We welcome to the show Jaap Kalder, Johan Grabie, and Andrew Lotz. Thanks so much for joining us. Jaap, let me start with you first. We've seen many cases of municipalities, ratepayers associations, concerned citizens going to the courts simply to force municipalities to do their job. Many people argue that they have no other choice but to do this. Your thoughts on infrastructure development maintenance, often used as a political tool to win votes? We're not going to do anything for 4 years except the last few months in office. And then all of a sudden, the budgets come up, the steamrollers come out, and then all of a sudden you see an infrastructure blitz in many municipalities around the country. Good morning, Jaap.
Good morning.
Your thoughts on this phenomenon? Is this something that, as the National Taxpayers Union, you see this happening, this politicization of infrastructure maintenance?
Infrastructure maintenance has got absolutely nothing to do with political parties. It is about what and how does it affect the residents of each town and even cities. There is hardly a town or city in the north of the country which is not affected by this. And as you quite rightly said, it doesn't stop at potholes. Potholes is only one aspect of it and a more visible part of it. But no water being available, no electricity being available, not only because Eskom is failing in its duty, but also municipal infrastructure is collapsing. Substations are not being maintained. They blow up. It's a sad situation that we are in, but these are the facts today, and we've got to live with it, and either we do something about it, or we suffer the consequences.
There's been the concept touted of introducing some sort of Chapter 9 institution. Chapter 9 institutions are meant to uphold rights and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which are contained in the Constitution of South Africa. So an engineer general, a independent office to oversee and be a bit of an ombudsman when it comes to infrastructure development. With so many municipalities and concerned citizens having to go to court to essentially force the municipalities to maintain infrastructure and to fix broken roads and other key infrastructure. Your thoughts on some sort of engineer general as an overseeing national ombud service, which is independent from the current government?
It really is sad that residents must go to these extreme lengths in undertaking the service themselves. In terms of Section 152(1)(b) of the Constitution, there is a duty to municipalities delivering services in a sustainable manner. Then you've got province to oversee that commitment should be adhered to. Then you got a Department of Local Government, COCTA, which should ensure that these services are being delivered and that municipalities are being run properly. You've got the Department of Water Affairs, who is supposed to watch that we don't have pollution in the country and that our water is available and potable. You've got national government, who are supposed to oversee the whole lot again. And none of them are doing their duty. So what is left for residents to do? The whole system, political system, is failing us. Parliament is failing us. The whole government is failing us. And what other option do residents have but take action to ensure at least the minimum standards of living?
I want to introduce to this conversation Johan Grabe. He was part of community members of the Kooingas municipality up in the Northern Cape. They received some attention because they very publicly said, we're withholding our rates and taxes. We are not paying any of our municipal taxes because it doesn't go to infrastructure development. And instead, they said, we'll keep that money, we'll organize amongst ourselves, and we're going to fix things ourselves. How successful was that program, Johan?
Thank you, Lester, for your for the opportunity. Again, yes, we as a community came together and said we're going to start legally withheld taxes through the system of the National Taxpayers Union, which JobKelder has been fought for years in court, where we have court orders that allows us to legally withheld taxes, not withheld taxes, claim a tax credit of mistakes the municipality made. It's very simple. They didn't declare their rights as they should in by law. And then many court cases have shown that they have been illegally charged rights for that year. And then you can claim those rights back. And that's what we started a year ago. And when we had about 200,000-300,000 rand in the bank, we decided and we wrote 5 letters to the municipality and told him, let's work together and let's make this work. And after the 5th letter, I wrote him a 6th letter saying, we're going to start doing the work ourselves on the 6th of December, which we did. And on the 15th of December, before the 16th of December was a public holiday, they got a court order against us not to fix the potholes. In those days, we got 35 people in the town together, and we did a massive job. We moved 60 tons of concrete and fixed the potholes, and they sent the police to us, but luckily we had Leon there. He was the old policeman. He just away, and we went to court. We said we got to stand withstand their thing and or the court order, and of course, I think they did it to chase us away. And we, JobKelder and the National Taxpayers Union, stood with us till today, and we haven't been in court yet.
So they essentially sent the police to prevent you from fixing your roads in Kooingas.
Yes, and then the worst of it is that the judge gave a instruction to the police to stop us. It's now a year later. The roads are worse than what they were when we started. Mm. The nothing still works in the town, and we haven't got our day in court yet. Mm. And in that process, we started collecting information, 1,195 pages of corruption in that small municipality of 4,000 people, which we have got put together. And it seems as we're working against a monster. Mm. The day before, year in March, when we had to go to court, they lost our documentation. 1,900 pages gone, which were all submitted. And they just conveniently lost our documentation
in the High Court. Johan, I want to speak to Andrew Larts in a short while. He's a road engineer. And of course, citizens are fed up. We're hatful. We want action. But I want to ask him, what about the issue of DIY pothole repairs? Is it in fact safe? But first, I've been reminded I've used my one G4 of the week. I have one more left. I have a quota of 2, and I can say that the people of South Africa are four. Joining me now, Andrew Lartz is a road engineer. And Andrew, you've heard Yup, you've heard, Johan. You hear these stories every single day from frustrated South Africans saying, we can't wait. We need to do this ourselves. So get the cement mixer. Let's fill this pothole. Let's use some, you know, heavy machinery to compress this now filled hole in the ground. And the job is sorted. Knowing the fears and the concerns and the frustration of people, there is also the concern that may not be totally legal, that maybe that judge in the Northern Cape has every reason to say, well, major repairs must only be done with a competent authority that not only has the workmanship expertise, but also carries the liability if anything goes wrong. Am I correct?
Morning, all. Yes. It's strange to end up talking about potholes when one's been a pavement engineer for 35 years. But I'm hearing it more and more. And just as an aside, I live in Cape Town, Plumstead, and just outside my house, a couple of years ago, I think it's 7-8 years ago, a pothole formed, and my one neighbor repaired it with some concrete. And that pothole is still filled today, and it's still, there's no hole outside my house. And so I'm torn between, you know, that kind of thing where it does actually work. And as for the legal argument, the legal dangers, where if one does repair a pothole and there is a accident on that pothole, it does cloudy the sort of the air with regard to who's responsible for the potential damage caused. You know, if a car hits a pothole that's been repaired by the public, and the pothole has broken in the meantime, and the car is damaged, and there's an injury, I can imagine it's a complicated case. And that said, yeah, look. You can repair potholes, but each pavement that might exhibit potholes is typically different. You know, from a gravel road to a concrete road to an asphalt road to a premix road to a sealed road, and generally potholes are done in quite an organized manner, and high cost items because of the small size and the materials involved. But it's difficult.
Are communities in general, you may have someone who has some sort of expertise. They may be in construction, but in general, do communities know the composition of their particular road? What road, what's its use? Whether it is high traffic or whether it's residential, whether it's designed to bear the load of trucks or transportation that may come through and use that part of the road through the communities. That must be important information that the city, the municipality knows, but which concerned community members who think they're doing a good job may not know. And therefore, by doing a DIY solution, that could be some, you know, technical problems down the line.
Yes. If one's talking about a rural gravel road, the first thing they would do is throw some soil in it, and soil would obviously last maybe a day, and then it ravels out. If it's a so-called first world urban situation, like a residential area in Cape Town or even Joburg, maybe it would be a asphalt road. And communities don't have access to asphalt or as people call it, tar. In the rural areas, people have access to soil in heaps along the road. They don't have access to good gravels, which and good gravels are needed to repair a gravel road. But typically, if a gravel road would need to be reworked with a grader to blend all that in. They don't do well with just a pothole repair, a gravel road. Whereas a urban town Clemson, for instance, where the roads are surfaced with premix, I call it asphalt premix. There, typically, you can just plug a hole if the pothole is general long-term damage. And so it would be easier for those communities to access, say, concrete, home mixed concrete, local hardware mixed concrete. Is it advisable? A very difficult question. Mm. If it's a concrete road, again, one has to do it properly. So do people have the expertise? Not really. And the safest thing, I suppose, is putting a concrete plug in a urban type road, because concrete sticks to asphalt very well. They won't have access to asphalt, so their solution will be a type of concrete mix. In the rural areas, I've seen local people repairing gravel roads with cemented soil, and it raises a giggle from many people, especially engineers, but you know, it could even be the best solution they could come up with in the short term, because soil would just erode in one day. A cement and gravel mix, I call it cement, would be, it might last a couple of days. It wouldn't last weeks or months. You know? So they wouldn't have access to understanding the longer term benefit of a pothole.
So I want to get back to Johan. When you were prevented as a community organization from the court's ongoing aid, because you said the municipality was taking too long. We have the funds. We have the expertise. We have the people, the manpower to repair our roads. Was this some of the reasons that they gave you? Well, do you have the expertise? Do you know the proper condition of the road? Do you take on the liability if something goes wrong with the road? Are these some of the factors that were put before you when you were prevented?
Lester, thank you again. Nothing were put to us. They actually said we are damaging state property. Really. And today, a year later, more than a year later, 14 months later, the concrete still lasts, like said before. The concrete is 100%, all new potholes on the other side of the road. So we fixed the main road in town, and it was right for about 6-7 months, and still after a year and a half, no work again. And the other side, there where our concrete is 100% right, and it is a small little town of, when we started the work, we got 35 people in town together. And we had a road engineer that advised us. So we did the right thing to get the right people on board. We did buy the equipment to cut out the road, and we cut out all the wrong portions. We had an engineer that worked alongside us to do it. But we did much more than roads as well. We painted the road signs, we repainted all the street lights and so on. So we didn't only do the roads, we did a massive job of filling people in town.
Job, I'd like you to respond to this message. Lester, the law should allow citizens to report a pothole, and if after a certain time it is not resolved, the community should be allowed to fix it. If any damage or injury then occurs as a result of that repaired pothole, the municipality should still be held liable, because there will be evidence that it was reported and they did nothing to resolve it when the primary responsibilities is theirs. Your thoughts on that message?
We advise our ratepayers associations to get expert advice to when they tackle the repair of potholes. That is exactly what happened in Koinaus. It's not that Joe Soap and Tani Sari started fixing potholes. You're laughing, there are women fixing potholes today.
Because very much I support.
How much damage do you have every day, countrywide, people losing tires, people's suspensions being damaged, accidents being caused? Weigh that up against people getting out of their comfort zones, appointing a proper qualified person to either do the work for them or advise the people how to do it. And really, what is the option? Sit back and have this country going to pots and potholes? Or do we get off our backsides and comfort zones and get cracking?
It's a fascinating conversation that I hope to continue. Johan Grabe, Jaap Kelder, Andrew Lotz, really appreciate your time. I'd like to put this out to our listeners, 021-446-0567. Also, how much time do you give? Is it a month after reporting broken or unmaintained infrastructure? Do you wait a couple of months? Do you wait a year before you decide to heck with it all?